Welcome to Torah Timecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this week, Parshas Kisisa, we read from Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Ches, chapter 18. Nusach Ashkenaz reads verse 1 to 39, and Sfard, the same chapter, but verse 20 to 39. In perhaps all of Nevi'im Rishonim, this chapter stands out as a moment of clarity, a bolt of lightning. It clarifies so much for us, and it comes during such a difficult and confusing era. Our Haftorah takes place during the awful reign of Ahav, king of Yisrael. He is an idol-worshipping king, and he and his evil wife Yezebel have caused so much damage and pain to the Jewish people. Eliyahu HaNavi is the prophet, and as part of an earlier story, it has not rained in a very long time. Hashem comes to Eliyahu at the beginning of our chapter to say, "Go appear to Ahav and let him know that I will send rain." Eliyahu begins to journey to Ahav. In the meantime, Ahav has sent his servant Ovadia to go look. Maybe they have missed a water source. Maybe there's something, a river, a spring, something. So Ahav walked in one direction and Ovadia another. Who is this Ovadia? He was a convert, a tzaddik, and one of Ahav's servants. In fact, the pasuk describes him as being in charge of the house. But the pasuk says something else about him. Ve'ovadiahu haya yarei es Hashem me'od. Ovadia would fear Hashem very much. The pasuk explains that when Yezebel went on her murderous rampage, killing out prophets, verse 4 tells us, "Vayihi b'hachris Yezebel es nevi'ei Hashem, vayikach Ovadiahu mea nevi'im, vayachbi'im chamishim ish ba'ma'ara v'chalkalim lechem v'mayim." When Yezebel was wiping out the prophets of God, Ovadia took 100 prophets and he hid them, 50 men in a cave, and he supported them with bread and water and sustained them. We actually reference this tremendous kindness in the Haftorah of Parshas Vayera from Melachim Beis chapter 4, because in that story we found out that Ovadia and his wife had sacrificed their entire family fortune to this life-saving project, even going into debt, which led to that beautiful oil miracle, again back in Melachim Beis Perek Dalet, chapter 4. Back to our chapter, Ahav and Ovadia spread out, each looking for water, when all of a sudden, who does Ovadia see? Eliyahu HaNavi himself. Eliyahu, who had been hiding all this time, knowing that Ahav was furious with him for the famine and would try to kill him. Which is why in verse 7, Ovadia is totally shocked and says, "Ha'ata zeh Adoni Eliyahu? Is that you, my master Eliyahu?" Eliyahu confirms this and asks him to please tell Ahav, the king, that he wanted to see him. Ovadia was petrified. In verse 9 he says, "Vayomer ma chatasi ki ata nosenes avdacha biyad Ahav lahamisene?" He says, "What is my sin that you are giving your servant in the hands of Ahav to kill me? Do you know how long he has been searching for you? He has gone to other nations, other kingdoms. If I go to him to tell him that you are here, I know what's going to happen because it's the kind of thing that happens to you. A wind of Hashem will fly you and carry you somewhere where I can't find you. And Ahav will come and you won't be here and he will kill me. So what is my sin? Why are you punishing me?" And Ovadia goes on to tell Eliyahu about this Navi saving project he has done. "Please, please don't kill me." In verse 15, Eliyahu HaNavi swears, "No, I will stay. I will allow myself to be seen by him. I will not disappear." And so Ovadia calls Ahav and tells him the news. Eliyahu has been found. In verse 17, Ahav bitterly greets Eliyahu with the words, "Ha'ata zeh Oker Yisrael? Is that you, destroyer of Israel?" Eliyahu responds in verse 18, "It is not I who destroyed Israel, but you and your father's house. You left the commandments of Hashem." And now the test. "Bring the entire nation to Har HaKarmel. The prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, who were the principal pagan gods that were served by the royal family and tragically by the Jewish people at that time. Well, they all gather, the nation, the prophets, and Eliyahu himself. And Eliyahu cries out to Bnei Yisrael these famous, painful words in verse 21. Vayigash Eliyahu el kol ha'am, vayomer ad masai atem poschim al shtei ha'si'ipim. Im Hashem ha'elokim, luchu acharav, v'im ha'bal, luchu acharav. V'lo anu ha'am oso davar. Eliyahu approached the entire nation and he said, until when will you skip between these two opinions, these two ideas? If Hashem is the God, go follow him. And if it is the Baal, go after it. And the nation did not respond anything to him. Rashi explained so painfully, V'lo anu ha'am oso davar, why didn't they respond? They weren't sure. They didn't know. They were confused. When it's dark, it's confusing. What does it mean when he said, how long will you keep skipping between these two opinions? The language he uses is piseach, from the word lame, because a lame person has no strong leg to stand on and jumps from one to the other, explains Matutas Tzion. Who do you believe? Eliyahu HaNavi then cries out, look, I am the only Navi left for Hashem. All the others had already been murdered. And there are 450 prophets for the Baal. And now we are going to make a test. Two cows. We will set up an altar, the karban, the wood, but no fire. And, verse 24, Ukrasem b'shem Elohechem, v'ani ekra b'shem Hashem, v'haya ha'elokim asher ya'ane ba'esh, hu ha'elokim. Vayaan kol ha'am vayomru tov hadavar. He explained to them, you call out in the name of your God, I'll call out in the name of Hashem, and whichever God responds with fire, that is the real God. The entire nation responds and said, this is good, this matter. Again, we can kind of sense their confusion and also their hopes for clarity. We would love to know the truth. Eliyahu then gave the prophets of the Baal the first choice of a cow, and in verse 26, Vayikhu es hapar asher nasan lahem, Vayasu, Vayikru'u b'shim habal mehaboker vad hatzarayim, Lemor habal anenu, Ve'ein kol, ve'ein oneh, Vayifaschu al hamizbeach asher asa. And they took that cow that he had given them, and they prepared it, and they called out in the name of their Baal from the morning till noon, saying, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, there was no response. They danced around the altar that they had made all morning long, to no avail. And the entire nation watched, no fire come down. And finally, Eliyahu called the Jewish nation close. He said, come. And verse 30 says, Vayirape es mizbach Hashem haharus. And he fixed, he repaired the altar of God that had been destroyed. Rashi shares two beautiful ideas on these words, that paganism and idol worship had entered the psyche of the Jewish nation, that the altar of God, the mention of God, the philosophy, belief, and ethics of God had been destroyed. But that this act of Eliyahu HaNavi will have lasting effects. It will repair. And, Rashi tells us, that the Medrash says literally he repaired the altar. What altar? Shaul had years and years ago built an altar right here in Har HaKarmel, and that Eliyahu repaired that altar. Verse 31, Vayikach Eliyahu shtei mesrei avanim kimispar shivtei b'nei Yaakov asher hayadvar Hashem elav lemor Yisrael yihyeh shemecha. Eliyahu then took 12 stones, like the number of the tribes of the children of Yaakov, that Hashem had said to him, saying, Yisrael will be your name. It's almost like he was reenacting the 12 stones of Yaakov back at Har HaMoriah in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov had 12 stones and they became one. And just as Yaakov had done then, he turned those 12 stones into an altar. And around the altar, he formed a trench. He filled 4 pitchers with water and poured over the sacrifice and over the sticks again and again until the water poured over into that trench. And then he cried out, Hashem, today let them know that you are Hashem, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael. Today let it be known that you are Hashem and that all I did by your word. Verse 37, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. Let them know that you are Hashem and that you turn their hearts backwards. Rashi explains, Aneni Hashem, Aneni. Aneni ba'esh, Aneni ba'matar. Answer me with fire and then answer me with rain, quoting Yonasan. But he also says, Chazal say, answer me with fire and also answer me that they recognize that this was you and that I am not using magic, God forbid. Let this indeed be a moment of clarity. What does Vata Sibosas Libam? Commentaries like Rashi and Radak give a few answers. With this act, you will bring their hearts back. Or, Hashem, by not making open miracles until now, it has been confusing for them. It's almost like you had a part in their turning away from you, Hashem. It's been hard. It's been dark and it's difficult to see you in the dark. And then comes the miracle in verse 38. Vatipol eish Hashem, vatochal es ha'ola ve'es ha'itzim ve'es ha'vanim ve'es ha'afar ve'es ha'mayim asher bata'ala l'cheicha. A fire fell from the sky and it consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dirt, and it licked the water in the trenches. And the nation cried out, Hashem hu ha'elokim, Hashem hu ha'elokim, Hashem is God, Hashem is God. We repeat this on Yom Kippur. At those very beautiful moments of Ne'ilah, we try to catch on to this moment of clarity that the Jewish nation had. The connection to our Parsha is painful. So soon after Matan Torah, just moments before Moshe would have come down with the miraculous Luchos, sealing their beautiful relationship with Hashem, the Jews unfathomably sink into the abyss. They create a golden calf and they serve it. And of course, there's so much about the story that we will never understand. But one thing we do know, that this was an Avera that grew from feelings of confusion and fear. They did not understand where Moshe was and why he had not returned. They feared their connection with Hashem they had relied on Moshe to sustain was no longer possible. This confusion was an existential question of identity. This Shabbos is actually Shushan Purim, and we are reminded of other dark and confusing times in our history. In fact, Purim itself is alluded to in chapter 22 of Tehillim with the words Lamnatzeach al Ayeles HaShachar to the conductor about the morning star, dawn. And the Medrash actually explains that although night is dark, it's never truly dark. True darkness actually happens at dawn, and that Hashem brings dawn out of the darkness and salvation out of dark times. And the story of Purim happens perhaps at the absolute darkest time of history. When it is dark, it's hard to see, and we can make huge mistakes. The confusion of our nation at that time was not just about whether it was right or wrong to go to the party of Ahasuerus. The confusion and darkness was so much deeper than that. It was, as well, truly an existential crisis of identity. The Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. Were they even the nation of Hashem anymore? Could we still be a unified nation if we are in exile? Is anything but total assimilation to Persian society even possible? And in our Haftorah as well, so many years after the split of the kingdom, the 10 tribes floundering and straying and asking, who are we and does it even matter? And in all 3 stories, after Chet HaEgel, at Har HaKarmel with Eliyahu HaNavi, and certainly in the Purim story, we have repair and we have healing. And just as here, In our Haftorah, the Jewish nation stared at this altar with all 12 stones symbolizing the entire Jewish nation, and they experienced and responded to this beautiful moment of clarity. So too in the other stories. In the Chet HaEgel story, Shevet Levi heeded the call of Moshe of Mi Lashem Eli, who is to Hashem, come to me. In the Purim story, it says Kimu V'Kiblu, they reaffirmed their vows to Hashem. And here in our Haftorah, they cried out, Hashem, Hu HaElokim. May we merit that clarity, those miracles, and may we be of those who call out, Hashem, Hu HaElokim. Thank you for learning together.